I believe we're joined by Robin Philpott. Are you there, Robin?
Yes, I am, Phil.
Thank you very much. You're producing some wonderful books, and in this case, you brought out, you're republishing a book, which the world needs to know about. I mean, if it's proverbial to say one another, hey, Einstein, or you're not Einstein, or Einstein this, Einstein that, Einstein being the greatest intellect, certainly of the 20th century, people, it is not widely known what his opinions were and of the unfolding process, actually starting from his youth into contemporary West Asia, where we have Israel-Palestine. We had the World War One and all these things. And Einstein was in, I guess I use the expression from the 60s, en gage, with us the whole way.
Yeah.
And so tell us, why did you bring out the book? What's in it?
Well, just as a bit of background, the author is Fred Jerome, who you used to invite to your program, if I'm not mistaken. Fred passed away in 2020, but he had published a book in 2009 entitled Einstein on Israel and Zionism. It was published by St. Martin's Press in New York, quite a big publishing house, but they did nothing with it. And Fred would say how disappointed and in fact furious he was that the book was not promoted. It was soon out of print. It was never made into an electronic book, a digital book, and so people kept talking about Einstein and distorting his views on the question. So the book, and since October 7th, people are looking for ideological ways to back Israel, and Einstein's name has come up again on the wrong side. And it's been used, Zionists are using him again.
Yes.
And he was probably the most important Jewish figure in the 20th century, and particularly at the period when the State of Israel was created.
Yes, and they were going to make him the president, or at least somebody, some of them said, let's make him the, ask him to be the president.
Ben-Gurion said, he said, I had to invite, in 1952, when Weizmann died, who was the first president, he said, I had no choice but to ask Einstein to be president. And Einstein refused to be president because he said he would have a real problem of conscience. And he said, I would say a lot of things that these people in Israel would not be happy to hear. And Ben-Gurion, who was the prime minister, said, I had to ask him, but I'm...
Thank goodness he refused.
Yeah, and thank goodness he refused because we would have been in for trouble because of Einstein. So that's an indication, but it's a story which makes you want to read more about it because he had so much to say about the question of Zionism and of the State of Israel. And he wrote it down, and Fred, the rigorous journalist and courageous journalist, went and got all this material. A lot of it was written in German, and he got it translated because people had never seen it in the English-speaking world, where a lot of the ideology is communicated, and the ideas are communicated particularly on the question of Palestine and Israel. And so he got all that. And it's just fascinating reading because he, of course, had experienced the virulent anti-Semitism in Germany. You know, he was Swiss. He said, I was a Jew when I went to Germany. He didn't even realize he was a Jew. He just was a human being. And that's when he became a Jew, and he left in 1933 because his science was being accused of Jewish science, being Jewish science.
Yeah.
So he was drawn to Zionism in the early parts as a kind of rallying for Jews against anti-Semitism. But he evolved, and it's just fascinating because you could see his evolving.
Well, that was true of many progressive Jews involved with fighting anti-Semitism in Europe. The question was, okay, so what should be our strategy? And if we were to, for example, have with the homeland idea, what kind of homeland? What would our relations be in that region?
Yeah.
And he wasn't the only one. There were many major names who were associated with the early days of Zionism were conflicted people, it seemed to me the defining thing for Einstein was, he says, we have to be, number one, we have to have good relations with the people of this region. We have to have a mutual, you know, their nations and our nation. It's not a question of our dominating. He was very much against the idea of dominance.
Terribly. He continually said, just an aside, is that he was in favor of a homeland. It could be in Palestine or elsewhere, because there was a movement for Birobidzhan, which is in the Soviet Union. There was for China. There was Peru. There was, the Zionists were looking for a place where there could be a homeland. And he used the term homeland, but never was in favor of a Jewish state. He was not in favor of a Jewish state. Mm. He was, you could say, you know, right now people are talking about Palestine as being a single state, one person, one vote, you know, a single state. He
yes.
was talking about that in the 40s because he said if any state were to be created, it had to have equal rights and equal power.
Power is an important word.
Yes,
power is a very important word.
Yeah, and he had big arguments with some of the leading Zionists, and that is those are the letters that he had with Weizmann and others in the 20s and the 30s are so enlightening about what's going on and what's going on now, because the forerunners of the current of the Netanyahu and a lot of others were the people who were vehemently criticized and attacked by Einstein and others.
Yes.
For instance, Menachem Begin.
Yes.
As people may know, but it's very important that to know Menachem Begin, who is, you could say, almost the grandfather, political grandfather of Netanyahu.
Yes.
Was coming to New York in December 1948, and he wanted to meet all kinds of Zionist organizations. And Einstein and several others, including Hannah Arendt, wrote a very powerful letter to New York Times that was published, in which they compared Menachem Begin to the fascists and the Nazis.
Yes. They said he's a known, he is a criminal. They, you know, on this thing is today we say, oh, we don't deal with terrorists. Well, that was their point. He was a terrorist. Yeah. That was their view.
He was a terrorist, and this is another interview he did, where he said, in their thoughts and in their deeds, mm-hmm. they are like the Nazis and the fascists.
Yeah. By the way, I want to make sure that people know, that's in this book, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. He repeated it again in 1952, and this is Fred went to Cairo and met the man who was probably the greatest journalist in the Arab world, Mohammed Haykal. And he became very big under the during the Nasser period as a journalist, and he came to New York, and people said, you've got to go and meet Einstein. Well, Einstein wanted to meet him. And so Fred went and interviewed this journalist, and this is the first day that didn't exist anywhere. And they had a long talk, this man was 84 at the time, and he talked about his meeting with Einstein in 1952, and their discussions about Israel, about what was going on in Egypt as well. It's absolutely fascinating to see how he did it, and that is where Einstein repeated that Menachem Begin and that group were Nazis or fascists in their thoughts and their deeds. And he talked about Deir Yassin, you know, the one of the worst massacres that they had committed. So, like, I posit, and I maintain that Einstein would have been out marching with against the attacks on Gaza. Killings. He would have been out in the streets with all of us, you know.
Well, let's mention here that you say, of course, Fred Jerome is the author in the sense he put, but it is basically, as I was paging through it last night, really, I mean, it's such a pleasure. It's like opening your newspaper and there's a letter to the editor by Albert Einstein. Yeah. And you say, okay, I mean, this is now me and listening to Einstein. It's not filtered. This is him. There's another matter, and I'm really glad you called attention to this, the fact that he knew, of course, the Egyptian editor-journalist Heiko, probably the most respected journalist in the region historically. I think it's Al Aram, isn't it, the paper?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And no one here knows that. If you don't read Einstein on Israel and Zionism, you wouldn't know that Einstein was anxious to get to know Heiko. And there's another analogy there with in talking to Fred Jerome and over the years and reading his books about Einstein, he pointed out that Einstein had, together with Paul Robeson and W.E.B. Du Bois, formed a committee to end lynching in America, to have laws against lynching. And there are shelves of books by people who claim to love and want us to know all about Einstein, never mention Robeson and Du Bois and being in the same room and they're arm in arm with Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
Who was a socialist, by the way. I mean, that's his foundation.
Yeah, he was. And he called himself a revolutionary. And he did say his life is divided between equations and politics. But his political views on Israel and Zionism, which were so key to what was going on in that period of the world and now, have been hidden or distorted for so many years. And they are extremely helpful in this period to understand. I find it absolutely enlightening to read. Yeah. And reread. And as you say, Fred makes it very clear, this book is not by him. He's the guy who's brought it together. It's Einstein's writings. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't take any subject like this lightly. Yeah. You can see the intellect, the work, and the thought that goes into everything. I mean, when he met this guy, Muhammad, this journalist from, the journalist was only 30 or 32 at the time. He had said, because it was the Egyptian ambassador who set up the meeting, said, well, we'll have 15 minutes, we'll go for a walk. They ended up meeting for 2.5 hours. In other words, Einstein really wanted to become a friend with this man and understand what was going on there. And in this edition, I do want to say, because I'm going from one subject to another, but we got this book, this article, which Fred wrote, I think it's in a very important article, on the killing of the UN peace mediator who had been appointed by the UN in 1948 to mediate for peace in Palestine. Mm-hmm. And he was assassinated by the group that was led by Yitzhak Shamir, who also became a prime minister of Israel. And it's a very important article, which was not too well known. I mean, once again, the killing it was a major event, and this man had already, his name was Bernadotte, and he had been known for his fighting against the genocide of Jews in Germany. Mm-hmm. But because he was looking for peace, and he was accompanied by people who had clear ideas about what Palestine should become.
Well, they were also objective observers. They were going to, this was a United Nations operation, trying to make sure that the process went without violence and so that it could be resolved, maintaining the rights of all parties, right?
Yeah.
And there was these militant extremists, is the modern word, group, who said it's best he not be here. And by the way, as I recall from the essay, he was supposed to be sitting next to him in the car. He was scheduled to be with him was Ralph Bunche, the first American black representative, I would say, in international affairs. It used to be highly celebrated because America was so proud of its tokenism that they had Ralph Bunche, and they would always have a picture of Ralph Bunche. And he was really quite, of course, an intellect and a really decent individual. And he was to be with Bernadotte the day that Israeli Zionist terrorist, walked up to the car with a machine gun and killed all three men sitting in the back seat of that car. So they were ready to kill Ralph Bunche. I mean, they didn't care who it was. They were going to take him out.
Yeah. In fact, Fred suggests that they were aiming largely at Bunche because Bunche had very clear ideas about equality for the Arabs. And it was because they were, he has quotes about getting the man, the black man, you know, in that essay. So, it's a very important essay, and it goes well with the book because it complements, in my opinion, I'm a publisher, but it complements the idea that Einstein was going after about the failure of Zionism, which he tried to point out. This was the failure of Zionism and the State of Israel was that they'd lost their moral compass and their humanity. That's what he said. And what happened? What was the killing of Bernadotte was another strong example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I'm really happy to be able to do this. It was Fred Jerome's widow who granted us the rights. She was thrilled because she knew how Fred was so disappointed by the original edition. It came out in...
You're a publisher. You know how tough it is. Authors labor, and then the book comes out, it's like all the burden is on the authors. And it can be really tough. I think Fred must have made a few talks based on the book the first time it came out in the States.
Yeah,
but frankly, he's in an environment where it's like our current problem, that if you want to speak out on this subject, someone protests and you're not allowed to have a microphone. You're not allowed to have a public event because someone smears you, which is not a happy picture, but it's a true one.
Right.
There was Fred Jerome fighting the fight.
Right, and by the way, talking about public events, is that this is new. I just spoke to the Miguel San Vicente of the different book list, and we're going to launch it in October at a public event at a different book list, October 24th. Now the book can be already picked up probably within a week. It's scheduled out early September, but we're going to have a public launch on October 24th. It's a Thursday evening, and we'll get back and talk about it again. But it's going to be a public event to launch it at a different book list. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really glad to hear that. What do you know? I come and I think I know all the, I'm all set, and I learned something in the middle of the broadcast. Good.
We just set it up about 20 minutes ago, half an hour.
It's the 24th of October?
Yeah. We want to hold an event, and then we find a date which was okay for everybody, and that was the date. So.
Well, and that'll be, I guess, 7 p.m. would be the assumption?
Yeah, 6:30 to 8:30. And we haven't got all the program. We try and partner maybe with some other people with it, but that's when it's going to be. And there'll be some people who know the book and know the story well who will be there as well. So anyway, that's just...
Well, that's great news. Well, again, now the book is Einstein on Israel and Zionism. They can go to Baraka Books. Like this, my guess is if you write Baraka Books, it'll come up, and you can order.
You can get a copy, and it's the new enriched edition, because the old edition had another subtitle, but it costs about $200 to get it on Amazon, and it's out of print. You can't get it anywhere. It's even not in that many libraries. I think I found one library in Montreal who had it. So it does. I wanted to see whether people can get it, and it was very, very hard to get. So that's another reason why we figured it was important to bring it out.
Indeed. It's the problem is, you know, as they say, the friends of Einstein, so-called, have been the ones who have largely been responsible for suppressing whatever works he's done. You know?
Yeah. Well, they try and make him into an absent-minded, professor, dreamer, but he was...
A colorful man on a bicycle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe a little, you know... Yeah, that's it's a very important book, and I do hope people will order it. In just a minute or so we have left to talk to you, I want to ask you, next Monday will be Labor Day here, and there will be a march, and they call it a march, and that was the sound of a phone coming. We still have you, I assume. It'll be the Labor Day, and warplanes will be flying low over the city to remind us how we're being kept safe, etc. You are in Quebec, Montreal, and is there a Labor Day with warplanes flying over your workers?
Well, first of all, there are basically no marches on Labor Day here because people march on May Day. Many.
They've heard about that it's the international working day. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Labor Day is, and so whether there will be warplanes, they may try and be equal to Quebec and to the rest of Canada. So they may send the warplane over. But as far as I know, that they don't. There's basically no marches, no events around Labor Day.
Certainly no warplanes flying over on May Day.
No, not for sure.
You have to be a member of Five Eyes. I mean, a real member, an English-speaking group, to have warplanes. Yeah. They can't afford to put the warplanes over, or maybe they think that the French wouldn't like Anglophone warplanes flying over their heads.
Okay, you're asking questions, but how do they decide to have warplanes? I just can't imagine. Who decides that?
Yeah. I don't know. Of course, Canadians are waiting breathlessly for the United States to elect our new president, and we have to ask them. By the way, we have to buy those planes from the U.S. Canada once developed a pretty nice warplane, and they told them to junk it, right?
Right. And they did.
Put it into the bottom of the lake, I think. Anyway.
Okay.
Robin, it's great talking to you. So you're going to be here on the 24th with the book.
I'll be there also for the book on the Oshawa General Strike, but that's Oshawa
but
Strike.
But not on the same date.
No, it's a week later.
Because I was going to say that's just like having a gourmet meal with too much food.
No. It's just two. It's a week apart. But anyway, there's two big subjects.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, anyway, it'd be great to see you, and we do appreciate it. Einstein on Israel and Zionism by Fred Jerome in the new enriched edition. And please order it from Baraka Books. Thank you very much, Robin.
And thank you, Phil. Thank you very much. Yeah. Bye.
This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I think maybe we have some banjo music because I have to find my notes. So we'll play some Flattened Scruggs.